WEBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons, and I'm Sue Bartholomew. And joining us on the Commons today is someone whose energy is just unbelievable. It is Florida's very own irrepressible, energetic, upbeat, hardworking representative, Julio Urbina, and we should all have a clone of him. Julio, thank you so much for joining us today.
How are you today?
I'm wonderful.
Good.
You've already had a busy day.
Extremely, running around all over South Florida, but I'm glad to be here with you again and with all those that share our concerns about condo and homeowner association living.
Well, you're always very good. I mean, you've been on the show a number of times now, and you've called me from constituents' homes because you've been out knocking on doors, and we've done the show. You even called me from the golf course, the payphone on the golf course one day. So, hats off to you and thank you, because you are always willing to come on and always willing to talk about Florida and what you're doing and what's happening there. And I think Florida is either number one or number two in terms of the most associations, so you've got your hands full.
We sure do.
What's been going on recently? Give us an update, Julio.
Well, we've had a very interesting past year, 2005. As you know, last year, we had what I would consider to say the first steps in trying to get some bodies into our newly established condominium ombudsman's office. And I just want to give you a little update. Our condo ombudsman, a gentleman by the name of Virgil Rizzo, is doing a great job. His office is taking hundreds and hundreds of calls a week and probably resolving, I'd say, 85-90% of these calls just by educating people, and sometimes even board members that don't understand what they're supposed to do on what they need to do. But more importantly, those that are unit owners that have had some kind of problem with the boards, with the associations, with the property managers, you name it, anything that has to do with living in an association environment. So he's had great success. I will tell you that you talk about government putting in a program where you get bang for your buck. Well, we are getting bang from our buck. And the greatest thing is that not only myself now, I think all the legislators in the state of Florida, both senators and representatives, call him all the time with questions, concerns, and Virgil's doing a great job, something that, to be very honest with you, we weren't getting that type of response from our department that regulates condominiums, which is the Department of Business and Professional Regulation. So that turned out to be a huge success, and we're going to continue on this year trying to empower him a little more, a couple more powers, and a number of other things that we're going to do with some proposed legislation this year.
Well, I got to tell you, Julio, Virgil's been on the show a couple of times, and I think if anybody is going to be able to make the ombudsman's office work as it's supposed to work and not allow it to be hijacked by the special interests, I think it is Virgil. You said he's getting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of calls a week?
Absolutely. I think he's getting now more calls at times than the whole department that regulates condominiums in the state of Florida does. The word got out that this is a neutral body that doesn't, per se, carry the word or the weight of the state through the department that regulates condos. This is an individual independent to work on his own and to try to help condominiums that have had problems. And I'll just give you one quick example. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are listening that have heard of the problems where people have complained for years there's boards to get in there, and the election process is all but, let's just say, a fair election process. Somehow or another, these same boards continue to get on year after year after year. And no matter how hard people tried, even through recall, the recall process, they were unable to do away with these boards that just lingered on for years. One of the powers that Virgil has is to be able to come out when groups request him to be an election monitor during the election process. And I will tell you that I've probably seen more turnovers as a result of just having the ombudsman present, being there ready to assist during the election process, and watching what I would consider to be a real fair election take place. And there are changes happening here in the state of Florida. And just because we have an ombudsman that has his great group, because he worked with a great group of people, that are able to be there and make sure that everything's done by the book. So that's one of the successes. And I won't tell you how many recall processes he's helped to steer in the state of Florida. But besides that, one of the other things I'll share with you later in the program is some of his great recommendations. That was another thing that we empowered him to do, was to come forward with proposed future legislation, working alongside a group that I know you've spoken to, which is CCFJ.
Right.
That's our Cyber Citizens for Justice group here in the state of Florida, which are doing a wonderful job.
They are.
Led by Jan Bergman. So who says the grassroots can't get, you know, some things done, you know, in state government? That's nonsense. You can see it happening right here.
What's happening down in Florida, and I'm really pleased about that. I think, you know, when you said that Virgil had gone in, and Virgil, for those of you who just tuned in, is the Florida ombudsman. Now, he's only for condominiums, right?
That is correct. There was a push last year to try to also establish the ombudsman's office for homeowner associations. But honestly, at the time, the consensus was from the senators and the members of the House of Representatives was, well, let's give them a little time to really get this, you know, situation, you know, underhand. And at the same time, you know, let's go ahead and give him the resources. And let me tell you, it's been a battle to get him the resources.
I can imagine.
To be very honest. The state doesn't want him. Nobody wanted that other individual looking over. Because, as you know, we also gave him powers to look into the Department of Business and Professional Regulations, you know, condo division, and let us know what, you know, some of the issues are there. And they've been bucking him the whole time. I mean, they started by not wanting to give him a budget. They've started by basically making his life miserable. But I think it's a slow, painstaking, growing, you know, relationship that is going to continue to hopefully get better, because it's been a tough run. We're not going to sit and kid you that it's almost like the state's unwanted stepchild. But Virgil is doing a great job. And like I said, the thing is that there's justification because of the work that he does. But more importantly, the hundreds of emails and phone calls that we get from people thanking us every day for creating the Office of the Ombudsman. So we're not done possibly pursuing, you know, an ombudsman for homeowner associations. God knows they need somebody like this to also help them out with their problems.
And so is it going to be a separate ombudsman? Do you envision a separate ombudsman, or would it all come under Virgil's?
Well, let me tell you that we would love to have Virgil spearhead both ends of it, but I got to tell you, they're overwhelmed. So getting the,
you know,
you do the math, getting the hundreds of calls that he gets, I don't know if he'd be able to handle the additional thousands of calls that will come in from the homeowners, but that's yet to be seen if we fund them and if we give them an additional larger staff like we did. And by the way, one other thing before I forget, you know that this year he was expanded to Fort Lauderdale. His original office was in the state of Florida. It was one office. It was up where the Capitol is in Tallahassee, Florida. But the governor agreed, I guess, that due to the calls that he was getting, the compliments, and knowing that there was a need in what they call the South Florida sector, he also opened up another satellite office in Broward County here in South Florida.
You know, it's an organization down in Florida, the Community Association Leadership Lobby, just announced that they had a survey. And they said that all the horror stories and the complaints and the condo wars in Florida are just basically a myth, and that the silent majority is overwhelmingly thrilled and pleased. They love their associations. They love their board members. They're very happy with everything. They don't want to run for the board. They're perfectly happy allowing the board to do it. They have complete faith and trust in them. But when you get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of phone calls a week, and then you anticipate getting thousands from homeowner associations, what does that tell you about this survey that just came out?
Well, let me tell you, it's like anything. You know, you can put down on paper and go ahead and commission any type of survey and tell them what type of response you want to come back. Throw the negative ones out. Keep the positive ones, or however you want. You know, you can basically maneuver those things. And surveys, you know, they come a dime a dozen. You can basically lead them whatever way you want. Call, with all respect to these other groups that are out there, you know, they have their agendas. These are people that are represented by law firms who basically have a great partnership with these association members. I'll never forget what I called the dog and pony show that was in Tallahassee last year during session. A whole plane was chartered by a let's call them call, and they said that these were concerned, homeowner association and condo association presidents, that they wanted to talk to us, that this was nonsense, that there really weren't these kind of problems. These were just people that were upset and frustrated because they were not good citizens living in within the laws of an association. And everyone that got off that plane was somebody who was affiliated with a firm that was being paid to represent them. So you, again, look at this. This is, I call it the great dog and pony show, but you know, this is America. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to lobby. You're allowed to bring your side. You're even allowed to bring your own agenda. But I think that the representatives and the senators saw right through that, especially since we got notice it was coming and we alerted everybody in the Capitol, get ready, the dog and pony show is coming. So.
Well, I'm really pleased that you weren't fooled by all of this, because they've had the same type of survey at the national level as well. And, of course, the number, I mean, you can lie with numbers, and the numbers, you know, don't reflect what's really going on over there.
So here's one thing that I tell everybody. You can bring me any survey in the world, but to me, even if there's only one individual that's crying foul play, that something's happening, we have a right to look into it. And it's not one person. If you remember when we started this 3 years ago, we had hearings all around the state of Florida. And it wasn't one person. We had auditoriums full of people that spoke out against the abuses. We thought we'd heard it all until we heard from those who live in condominiums and in homeowner associations. So, you know, again, it's sad that they decide to carry an agenda like that. What we've been trying to do for years, and it's not happening because it's all about the almighty buck. We've been trying to get everybody to the table, but again, the table would mean that some laws would have to change, and there probably would be some change in the composition of boards. More responsibility would probably come with more restrictions as far as they would have to be accountable, so it would be more accountability that we would have posed upon these people. Although, yes, they are volunteers, but remember, when you volunteer for something like this, you have a fiduciary responsibility. You're dealing with people's money and livelihoods. And lives in general, these are their homes. So all that said and done, you know, if everybody were willing to come to the table, it would make what I call the battle during the legislative session a lot easier to try to modify these laws so that everybody can live in peace and harmony. But it's politics.
We're talking to Florida's representative, Julio Rabina. Julio is the darling of homeowners down there and across the country as well, because you've got a lot of fans, you know, who listen to On the Commons who don't live in Florida and who, you know, I hear from them and they just love it. I think anytime, some people have told me, anytime I really feel down and I feel like everything is hopeless, I go to your archives and I listen to an interview with Representative Rabina, because he's so upbeat and so positive and so willing to roll up his sleeves and do the work. And you're not buying into all of the nonsense. So for that, I thank you, Julio.
It's my pleasure, Sue.
And for anybody listening out there, I know, you know, my phone's been ringing over here, and unfortunately I can't take your calls. But if you want to send me an email, you can go to my website, onthecommons.com, and send me an email. Please don't think you're being ignored. I'm sure you have a million and one questions you would like to ask Representative Rabina, but send me an email, please. Again, that's onthecommons.com, and you can send me an email from there. So you anticipate this year sort of bringing in, having some kind of adult supervision in place for homeowner associations as well?
Let me tell you what's happening. As a result of all the legislation that we brought forward and so forth, now, believe it or not, it's no longer just the CCFJ and Rabina show with this anymore. There's a group of senators and a group of representatives that are all filing different pieces of legislation, both affecting the homeowners and the condo association. There are several bills that are going to start addressing the homeowner issues this year. I know of three pieces of legislation coming out, two that seem to be okay, one that seems to be a product of Call and of some of the other groups that probably want to reverse some of the, let's just say, protection that we've put in place in the past years. But, you know, we'll be ready to take that legislation on. So there will be some HOA legislation coming forward. As far as condo association legislation, I have in front of me what we're going to propose this year in 2006, and this is a culmination of, again, our ombudsman, Virgil Rizzo's recommendations on what needs to be done, with the help, of course, of CCFJ. And I'm proud to say that this year I have a chairman of a committee that, as we always say, it's just a matter of time. If you're living in a wonderful association environment now, as you claim, or a homeowner association environment that you think it's wonderful, sooner or later, there may be problems. And in this case, you know, we're now seeing that a lot of the legislators are being affected, personally or in time.
Oh, really?
Not, absolutely. And a lot of times, if it's not personally, guess what's happening? Their offices, the phones are ringing because of the noise. We call it the awareness that we've brought forward. And they're saying, you know what, this is going to be one of my priorities this year. So this year, I'm proud to say that at least here in the state of Florida, we have a chairman who chairs none other than the health care committee here in the state of Florida. He's going to be filing the large condo bill with all of us as co-sponsors and pushing this through. And if you know the process, when you have a chairman pushing a bill, it makes it a lot easier to get this heard and get this through all the different obstacles that are called committees in the state. And we also have a senator, a new senator, Alex Diaz-Laportilla, another one who's going to be pushing us on the Senate side. But if you'll allow me to share with you some of this, I'll tell you...
it's all yours, Julio.
Well, thank you. Here's some of the... And there's a lot. I mean, there's a... I got about 15 pages of the proposed condo legislation, but
wow.
Quickly, what are some of the things when it comes to the amendment of the declarations? You know, I'm going to just go through some of the new ideas being proposed. Of course, one of the things is the notice of proposed amendments to the declaration shall be sent to each unit owner by certified mail. This is going to start empowering people so that they'll be aware of what's going on when these boards basically don't send them any information. And here's some, you'll hear some of the things that we've proposed in the past that didn't pass, but here they come again. Under no circumstances may an association or board of administrations waive the financial reporting requirements of the section for more than 2 years. There's also a large section on reconstruction after casualty. When it comes to bylaws and the associations, one of the things that we're proposing is no action shall be taken or resolution made without an open meeting of the Board of Administration, and the Board of Administration shall address agenda items proposed by a petition of 20% of the unit owners. That's just, again, giving people a more of an opportunity to be heard and making these boards hear them. Here's another one. When it comes to the unit owner meetings, unit owner may not serve on the board as a director for no more than 2 terms, nor longer than 4 years, and a member may not serve as an officer of the corporation for more than 1 term. Co-owners of a unit may not serve as members of the board of administration during the same fiscal year. This is your clearing up the conflicts and the things that really...
Do you have a lot of that? I guess what you're saying is no husband and wife.
That's correct. We have that clearly. And, you know, I respect that a husband and wife, you know, want to serve on the board, but it creates almost a violation, almost like it's a sunshine violation when it came to government. They live in the same house. You know, they're supposed to be independent and speak in a public forum, and that really just leads to a lot of problems. So we're using a lot of common sense ideas here. Here's another one that I'm sure everybody listening will appreciate, and that is that unit owners shall have the right to have items placed on the agenda of the annual meeting and to be voted upon if a written request is made to the board by 20% or more of the voting interest with at least 90 days before the date of the meeting.
Let me ask you something, and let me stop you here. You're talking about 20% of the members, but you have somewhat of a unique situation down in Florida where you have a lot of what we used to call snowbirds in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would that hinder something like that where you have people where it's just mostly a winter home or where they come down for a quick weekend and they're not available for, you know, to get a 20% quorum?
Well, that's probably taken into consideration, because normally, you know, it takes 51 or 75%. That's why we've gone down as low as 20%.
Okay, let me understand this. I thought that it would take 20% of the owners to call a special meeting, right?
Well, the way it works, yes, but what this is doing is 20% more of the unit owners petitioning the board to have their items put on there. And letting the board know 90 days prior to the annual meeting. So what we're trying to do, and, you know, this still would have to be detailed very clearly. How would we do this? Would this be done? You know, we're talking possibly about verifying signatures that, even though they're not there, they have gotten a signature from an owner that may be seasonal, may not be there, but he's put his name down constituting part of that 20%, that, yes, you know, that we want to get these items heard on that agenda. So I really don't think it'll be such a tough issue, because here's one of the things that currently exists. The boards, the current boards, if anybody, let's say somebody's running for a position on the board of directors, if they have a list of the board, of the unit owners and where they live during those times, they must provide that information to everybody so that correspondence can be sent to them. What's happened in the past, and it becomes difficult, is the existing board and the property management company have a master list of everybody where their primary homes are, but a lot of times, to not give the information to a new group that's trying to get in, they hold off on giving them that information, and that is against Florida law. They have, everybody has the right, I guess you'd call it like a public records right, to have the names and addresses of these individuals so they can contact them and let them know, we know you're an owner, you know, I live here year-round, or it could be somebody from another part of the state. They can say to them, we want your signature, we want a letter authorizing your vote to be set to go forward and state that, yes, I want to have this item put on the agenda. That's another problem that happens currently, and that's why a lot of times there's not even a good, fair election because of current boards holding on to those names. So
have
we think the 20% threshold will be a good threshold.
Have you got any qualifiers in there? I mean, some laws will come in, and sometimes the industry will come in and they'll say something like, you need it, you know, you have to prove that you need it for a proper purpose. And instead of saying, you know, I'm an owner here and I am entitled to know who else, you know, to have contact information for all the other owners. And then they decide, well, you know what, we don't believe that sending letters to the other owners is a proper purpose, and therefore we can withhold that information. So there are no qualifiers the way you've written it, right?
That is correct. And, you know, personally, I'm thinking that if you're putting qualifiers in there, what you're doing is you're going to limit the opportunity for people to be able to speak about what they think is important.
Oh, I agree with you. It's used as a loophole all the time. The board says, oh, you want to let people know what we're doing with their money? Forget it. That's not a proper purpose. You're just trying to create problems, and you can't have that.
Which, by the way, starts the slap suits that we all know about, you know, and that's a whole other problem that we have here. But I got to tell you, we at times you've got to make this fast so that the boards will not be there, you know, as we call it, nickel and diming these unit owners on what it is that they want to get on the agenda. And let me give you another one here. Here's one that every 5 years, the board shall have the condominium buildings inspected by a professional engineer or architect registered in the state of Florida for the purpose of determining that the building is structurally and electrically safe. And the engineer or architect shall render a report that shall indicate the manner and type of inspection forming the basis for the report and a description of the matters identified as requiring remedial action. And this report shall become an official record of the association to be provided to the members upon, you know, request. And let me tell you why that's important, especially in places like South Florida down here. you've probably read some of his, I know it made national headlines, a lot of buildings on the beach.
Yeah.
That we are saying that possibly, and they're still being investigated, the board purposely did not do the proper maintenance that needed to be done. Of course, nobody knew what goes on because they have total confidence in the board at that time, and not until the city comes up and basically starts evicting everybody that they got electrical hazards in there,
mm-hmm.
and so forth, the people are all put out on the street. Well, the biggest cry that was heard is, how did this happen? Why did anybody not, you know, tell us? Well, we know why, because there are times where boards will do things, and people ask for requests, which they should be given within 14 days, and they never get anything back from the boards,
yeah.
or the property management companies. This will guarantee that, you know, at least the people will know where they stand with the structural integrity of the building. By the way, I know one of the questions. Well, the cost of that, Mr. Representative, I got to tell you, the cost of it is a drop in the bucket compared to what can come out of it if the building is found to be structurally unsafe or having kind of or any kind of problems that are now not up to code. And the city or counties that they're in will start evicting people and creating a or naming it an unsafe structure. We've seen too much of it, and we just want to, again, protect citizens with this situation. And this applies a lot more to the older condominiums nowadays and to a lot of the latest craze, the condo conversions that we're having, which, you know, that's another thing that we're going to be addressing this year is beefing up the actual codes on condo conversions because, shoot, we can do another program just on that and what nightmares are coming as a result of condo conversions in the state of Florida.
Well, maybe we will do. I'll take you up on that one.
Well, we have our top. Remember, down here in South Florida, we have the toughest probably building codes in the nation. And a lot of stuff still continues to fall through the crack. And we have our director of building and zoning that is helping us. And so are our county commissioners helping to draft new ideas for toughening the building code when it comes to the condo conversions.
We're told quite often, Julio, that you need an association to protect your property values. What you're telling me is that a lot of these boards don't know what they're doing, and they let the maintenance go down, which means all of a sudden you've got people who are booted out of their homes because they're unsafe. The real government comes in and says, whoa, wait a minute, you know, you need to shore up these buildings. You haven't maintained them properly. They're falling down. What does this do to property values? I mean, what does it do to the allegation, basically, or the excuse that associations protect property values?
In cases like this, the association has done just the opposite of what they're supposed to be doing. And let me, I think this is a good time, when we're about halfway through the show, to put out that famous disclaimer that I like to put out there, because
mm-hmm.
when people hear these shows or come to our offices in Tallahassee or here in Miami, they always accuse me of just saying that I'm just accusing every board in America and every board in Florida just being a terrible board, that they don't know what they're doing, that they have no integrity. Let me go ahead and put out my disclaimer right now. This does not apply to you if you have an integral group of people, good volunteers that are ethical and they're doing things by the book. This does not apply to you. I want to make sure I do that, because a lot of times people do get offended. But remember, you may have a great situation today. Tomorrow you got a whole new group of people that may not know what they're doing, or as we see down here in South Florida, may intentionally be trying to do things, whether to better their pockets or whether they're working in conjunction with a developer. We don't know. But again, if you're a good board, you know, knock on wood and say congratulations. This is protecting the consumer. All that said and done, what happens in here is due to the property values, Shu, just soaring all around the United States in general, but especially our coastal area condominiums. A lot of times, yes, these boards, you know, have been approached probably by developers who will try to buy out the majority of the units, taking control of the building, and thus doing whatever they can to try to take control of the building, willing to pay $50-70 million for a building to knock it down. Sounds ridiculous, but you got to understand, that's peanuts nowadays.
Wow.
With what goes up in a new building worth $500 million, you know, and selling them for $300-400,000 for the beachfront property that is not available anymore. So this, what we're seeing in here, and this is being looked into several condominiums here in the state of Florida, is that there have been probably some deals cut with boards, and these people have been somehow, you know, benefited by the agreement made with a developer who was trying to take control of the building for the purpose of knocking the old buildings down and building a new structure.
Wow. That's pretty serious. Now, I haven't heard that one before.
Well, leave it to us down here in South Florida. We'll invent it, and we'll definitely let you know about it. But here we go again. This is why we need to continue to provide legislation to protect people, you know, not only in the state of Florida, because I know that a lot of states are watching what we're doing, and I know one of the states, Arizona, I get emails from a friend over there, and they're looking at what we do very carefully. So I don't think I'm talking so much, you know, something that's just exclusive to the state of Florida, and especially South Florida. This, I think, is happening all over due to the value of land, but it just seems to be here because this is the spawning ground for new development in the city of Miami and, well, all of Dade County and Broward County.
Well, I know that with eminent domain, we're taking down older developments, you know, housing that had maybe a little bit land around it and no association. And, of course, the local municipal governments kind of like the idea of just tearing those down and replacing them with association-controlled developments, because then they can continue to tax and not provide any of the services. But that's a whole different story. Julio, we're going to take a short break. Don't go away, because we'll be back with lots more with Julio coming right up after this.
They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Shu Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. WEBR Fairfax Radio, you're on The Commons. I'm Shu Bartholomew, and on The Commons with us today is one of my favorite people, and it's Representative Julio Rabina of Florida. Julio just really, I mean, I thought I'd heard it all, Julio, but you just really gave me a new one to think about today.
Well, Shu, it is this bad, and again, this is the difference between, you know, somebody who is going to give you, as I call it, the politician's version, or my, as I call it, my grassroots activist version of what's really happening, you know, with the condominium wars down in South Florida in general. So, yes, that is a new one that we're now learning about. And remember, as we see these things come up, normally it's citizens that will bring it to our attention. And, of course, our job is to investigate it and then, more importantly, try to legislate to close these abuses. So,
are there going to be any criminal charges filed when
Okay. Well, let me talk a little bit about that. Issue of criminal charges. First of all, yes, in these particular cases that we are suspecting that there have been some possible deals cut with people that do want to take control of the buildings, absolutely. The state attorney's office is looking into this. Probably the U.S. state attorney's office will have to look in this, and, of course, the local authorities are looking into it. But this leads us to another thing that we're going to attempt to do this year. I've already started this. This is one of my initiatives. Thanks to the help of our local state attorney in Miami-Dade County here, we're starting a pilot program. And everyone that's listening that lives anywhere in the United States, you may want to give a listen to this really closely and talk to your state attorney in your counties, for the simple reason this may probably be a good way to solve a lot of the problems. The pilot program that we are initiating this year, and by the way, it's being recommended by the CCFJ group, by the Ombudsman, and also by the Condo Advisory Committee that we have in place, is the following. We're going to fund the state attorney's office to work in conjunction with people like the Ombudsman to start educating all the local law enforcement agencies, meaning if you live in a city or you live in a county or you use the sheriff's department, those first responder police departments that you normally would call to come and investigate a robbery, a homicide, you know, anything of that nature. We want to take the law enforcement officers in all of these police departments, bring them into an environment, and we're going to educate them on what they need to look forward to or look at closely to be able to determine fraud. Because what we want to do is have specialized detectives that these police departments have also be specialized in looking into fraud when it comes to condo and homeowner association issues. Why is that important? Because, Shu, probably 99% of the times now when people call, the average citizen calls their local police department or calls their state attorney's office, the response is, this is a civil matter.
Right.
You need to take this to the court.
Right.
And you know that this is a double dip because we pay for the representation of the attorney through our fees to represent the association that you're accusing, and now you got to go out and hire another attorney, and you got to pay for him also to defend you.
And you're paying taxes to that cover the cost of hiring the police and the state's attorney and the, all of the other people, and they're just washing their hands of the whole thing.
Absolutely. So we're almost like building the whole structure from the get-go. What we're doing.
I love you, Julio. You're wonderful.
Well, these are the things that you know we need to do because isn't that our job? Our job as government officials is to protect people in general. So if we get just to close it up, if we got a good educated group of detectives that are now working with the state attorney's office and they find probable cause, our state attorney will then assign the prosecutors that will go ahead and file the charges against these people. Once these detectives have found probable cause, and hopefully this will keep the majority of the cases from going into a civil lawsuit and probably some criminal convictions. And that, I think, will send a strong message. Not here, not any longer. So that's what the pilot program is all about.
That's incredible because I know that, you know, the law enforcement, the attorneys, they're really reluctant to get into it. In Texas, they had some hearings a few years ago, and I remember one story that was told about an association where everybody kept paying in their assessments and none of the common areas were being maintained. They requested, one of the homeowners requested to the books, copies of the financial information, was told they'd lost it, they didn't have it. So the guy went to the state's attorney's office and the state's attorney, for once, decided to follow through. He requested canceled checks and was told, oh, we lost them, we don't have any of the banking information. So the state's attorney went to the bank and requested the books, the banking records, and what they found was that the board members were using assessment money to cover their personal businesses, their personal business expenses. The pool was green and slimy. The tennis court had weeds growing. You know, it was cracked and was weedy. The common areas were grass. You know, the grass was knee high. But the thing that really shocked me, Julio, was that there were nothing was filed against them. They just said, oh, bad boys, please return the money. So I think they were going to return about half of the money they stole.
But again, you understand that that's, however you look at it, that's one word, that's fraud.
I agree with you.
And that's corruption, and fraud and corruption has always been punishable by an arrest, whether it's a misdemeanor or a felony, and we just haven't had the teeth or the laws to go after these individuals. So what happens is, as always, when law enforcement is brought in, they tell people, I'm sorry, this is a personal matter, civil matter, just go ahead and take your board to court, and they know they don't get involved in this. And this is where we need to stop it. And Shu, your story is common. We just had a recall here in Dade County 2 weeks ago, and where they had found that some of the board members, including the president, was paying for his gas bill through the maintenance fees, was paying for his $400 a month cell phone from maintenance fees. And those are the small abuses. Remember, all it takes is $1 to be misused, and that is fraud.
Right.
And that is why we're going to come down on these people. And again, my disclaimer time again, if you're a good board member and you're an ethical person, you're fine. You'll never have to worry about this. But remember that in the real world, there is temptation, And if we don't safeguard against people who are not ethical and do these kinds of things and abuse and create, you know, fraud, we are then saying it's all right to continue this kind of practice. And this is where we need to legislate and protect people. The same way we protect them from any type of crime, white-collar crime is a crime, and it happens every single day, and it hurts the pocket of the people that live in these associations.
Now, is this program, is it up and running yet? Or
it will be up. The network and the way that it's structured is already set. It's all a matter of the funding. And we have, since we have now gotten the preliminary approval from the advisory council, I'm actually on the committee that funds this, and the committee seems to be okay with the idea. And it is a pilot program. We don't see any problem in implementing it this year. And I guarantee you that we already have several other counties that want on board, and hopefully, you know, after running the pilot for a year, these people will be able to do this. Now, I want you to know there are some local police departments that are voluntarily now asking, you know, the ombudsman, the state attorney's office, and some of the investigators from DBPR to come and conduct a course and teach their detectives on what to look for when the fraud is committed in an association environment. And they're doing it on their own, even without this pilot program kicking into gear.
I love it. And I guess you've got that someplace on the web where people can download it. I mean, I'm certainly interested in reading up on it.
Well, anytime that anybody wants information, please feel free to give out my email address.
Okay.
And I will send them information on it. And for all other states, because remember, we learn from one another on what we need to do. Because if it's happening here, it's probably happening there. And vice versa, I get great emails from other people around the United States on ideas that we put together for future legislation or something that needs to be done administratively.
I'd really appreciate a copy of that, and if you don't mind, I'd like to post it on my website so people can download it from there with, you know, saying that it was your pilot program.
You'll have a copy of it, and I know I've furnished it to a lot of people, and I will do that so people can download it and see exactly what it is. But I will tell you again, if you're listening, please take that to your local state attorney's office if you have these kind of problems and ask them to consider adopting one of these pilot programs. It will definitely do, as I say, a lot of good. And, you know, sure, we're just waiting for the first time that you'll see where these investigations lead to a group arrest of board members. I think that will send a clear message in the media that, you know, we're finally stopping this nonsense. And that's a very strong message that will be sent out. We've actually had, I think, one arrest all year this year, and that was on a board member that was in one of those seasonal buildings. And while the people were away for 6 months out of the year or 7 months out of the year, they did not use their parking spots. He would lease those spots for as much as thousands of dollars a month.
Wow.
And that money was kept by him since he knew that those individuals were not going to be around for 7 months and those spot parking spots were clear. So, I mean, you can just imagine the kind of innovative ways that people come around being unethical. And unfortunately, you know, that's why we're having to come up with safeguards to try to stop this.
Well, you know, several years ago, and we're going back somewhere around 7 or 8 years ago, in New York City, they cleaned up the city because there was so much fraud and so much abuse of power. And 2 years later, they had to come in and do the same thing. They put people in jail. They put managers in jail. They put board members in jail. They put real estate people in jail. They put the whole thing in, and, you know, it just started all over again.
Well, again, you know, I don't like to say that that all the legislators are turning their backs on this in other states, but I know in this state we're getting serious with this, more and more coming on board, because at the end of the day, the people that are responsible to solve these issues are your state legislators. They're the ones that can close all these loopholes, and I got to tell you, there's just been an incredible, you know, outcry, because I know in our state, almost everything that's popping up in every corner around any viable land in the state of Florida are condominiums. And if
right.
they're not condominiums, they're building what they call these PUDs, Plan Urban Development Projects, or as we like to refer to them, the walled-in communities of homes. And they have common ground. And so they're going to require an association. So I don't know how many, you know, hundreds of new associations come on board every year in this state, but it's a lot. And remember, that is why provisions must be made against unethical activity by board members that are tempted to do what they're not supposed to do with this money.
We're talking to State Representative Julio Rabino of Florida. Julio, you know, we've been talking about sort of tweaking basically the laws and primarily condominiums. And with condominiums, I can understand because you don't buy real estate. You don't own real estate in a condominium. All you buy is airspace. But what about sort of total reforms? Are we looking at homeowner associations? These are the PUDs and the gated communities and all of that. Is this a viable form of owning real estate?
Let me tell you where we're going, because we've really spoken a lot about condo. Well, let's talk about the homeowner association environment. What we would like to do, if you currently looked at our law books here in the state of Florida, you know, our condos are regulated by one chapter, and of course there's a separate chapter for homeowner. There is all kinds of legislation in place for condo, but very little for homeowner, and homeowner association technically are not even regulated through the state of Florida. What we're going to do, and this is where we're working our way to it, the problem is we didn't want to give any more powers to the department that regulates condos, which would have been the one responsible then to also regulate the homeowner associations, because they had a lot of problems even regulating condos. So we were just going to make the matter worse. As we're getting through, there's a new secretary in the department, there's new things that are being brought on board, these new pieces of legislation, an ombudsman. Our goal is within the next couple of years is to not reinvent the wheel, but to duplicate the laws that currently protect condo owners and have a section of law just as large to represent homeowners. And more importantly, to finally have an agency also regulating homeowner associations. But with that, as you know, there will be a cost, because every condo owner in the state of Florida pays about $4 in taxes every year that covers what we consider the fee for the regulation through the department that regulates them. It'll probably be about the same thing for homeowner associations, but they need to have the laws modeled. Of course, somewhat tweaked, because you're talking about common ground. Is it a good investment? Absolutely. The time it doesn't become a good investment is when the actual common ground area, it becomes a problem for these communities. And remember, they have no direct control except going to the boards. And one of the latest things that we found, to continue to answer your question, is it a good investment? It's a good investment if everybody, before they buy, they look at where they're buying those homes, because there are homeowner association environments that you're moving into and you have all kinds of common grounds. I'm going to give you an example. Golf courses are really big, but the rights still remain with the developer. And you move in, and maybe 10 years down the line, you've enjoyed that golf course, but all of a sudden, he's put in to develop that golf course. And nobody really did their due diligence to make absolutely sure that that belonged to that particular environment.
Oh, so he retains. But that's where he sets up, because in Florida, you guys have something, a community development district, CDDs.
That's correct.
And so it's possible for the developer to maintain ownership, I guess, is what you're saying.
Common grounds of pool areas, of tennis courts, I mean, of what we would consider common grounds.
Through the CDD.
They can do it through a CDD. That is correct. And this is why, again, it's always my words to everybody is buyer beware. Do your due diligence. Find out where it is that you're buying. And if you're buying in a homeowner association, make sure that you, when you buy, you know that you will always have, ownership of the common grounds through that corporation, that belongs to the homeowners, not where at any given time a developer may come back in and say, surprise, I'm here, I'm starting to develop more homes in here. And that's one of the shockers that people really, you know, get hit with, when all of a sudden they start destroying something they've enjoyed, or they find that their clubhouse is now being used for something else and they don't have a say.
But they've been footing the bill all along.
And they've been flipping the bill the whole time, footing it for the maintenance and the upkeep of the whole structure.
The maintenance, the upkeep, it belongs to someone else. They've been paying taxes. They're not getting any of the protections because they have to pay for it additionally through their assessments. What a deal, hey?
Well, we've always made it sound like don't buy in any type of association environment. And again, remember, I like to, again, in all fairness, not state that we would say that it's or is as horrible as what we're sounding here today, because remember, we are talking about the worst case scenarios, and there's a lot of that happening. But again, you know, all that I always tell people is do your due diligence, understand what you're getting yourself into. And more importantly, if you have an association, make sure that you have people with integrity and that you would trust with your own checkbook at hand. And if they're not, then do what we're doing. Get with your legislators. Change the laws. And if you currently have a good recall process, remove the boards and put new people in those positions. And we will continue to find new ways to protect, you know, the citizens that live in associations.
So what you're telling me, in essence, is that it does pay to contact your legislators, because if it hadn't been for the homeowners contacting you, you probably wouldn't be doing what you're doing, right?
Sure, I don't live in a condominium, even though you can tell by the way I talk, I keep using the word we, because now I feel like I live in everybody's condominium association here in the state of Florida. I don't. I just educated myself because my phone was ringing off the hook all the time about homeowner associations and condo associations. And again, I was just privileged and honored to have met people like Jan Bergman from CCFJ that, you know, so many times the law firms and the special interest groups go after him. But these are the people that I appreciate, you know, the ones that bring it to my attention, that are fighting every day, not getting paid a red cent. Just good, true community activism trying to defend people. And then people like our ombudsman, you know, people like Virgil that are willing to go against the grain and not be status quo. And if he has to butt heads with other legislators or the governor or whoever it may be in sake of protecting unit owners, you know, they're there for him. And that's what gets me, you know, into this. And if it weren't for people like that, I never would have taken this up. Right now, I probably would be taking on initiatives that would have to do with health care and education, which are two big problems here in the state of Florida. But, you know, thanks to their awareness and bringing it up, I hope that all citizens listening will get involved. Because if you don't get involved and you don't get to your legislators, I always hate to say this, but it's a God's honest truth that I always tell people, well, then you don't have a reason to sit and complain if you're not bringing these issues up to the people that you put in office to resolve these problems for you. So It's as simple as that for me.
Julio, thank you so much. I appreciate not only all the work you're doing for everyone in Florida, but I appreciate the fact that you're always willing to come on the show, always willing to talk to us, always willing to be the straight shooter and not give us the politician's version where you're afraid of offending someone, and that is so refreshing.
Thank you, Sue, and you can always tell I'll offend everybody equally.
That's why I love having you on, Julio.
Thank you. Thank you again for the chance to speak to you today.
And good luck, and thanks for being such a great role model for the rest of the states, because, you know, I think this pilot program is tremendous. I think we need to look at it and look at maybe getting it going in other states as well. And thanks to all of you for tuning in. Lead on the Commons was produced by LTC Multimedia Productions. My website for anybody who wanted to contact us is www.onthecommons.com. Talk to you all next time.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers,
slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, some tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.
Keeping the First Amendment alive. Cox Channel 37, Comcast Channel 26, Fairfax Cable and Internet Radio. WEDR.
They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.